There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
No matter how far you go, man cannot escape his fate. Who are you? Are you a murderer? Are you a mercenary who turns his back on the innocent? We believe in you. We have faith in you. Remember the deeds you have performed, the labors you have accomplished. Are you only the legend, or are you the truth behind the legend? Now, tell me, who are you? I am Hercules!
That's a bit of the trailer from the new blockbuster, I Am Hercules. It's ancient mythology brought to the 21st century screen with everything that you would expect from all the technology we can apply to making these things, these mythologies, seem real, at least on the screen. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, August the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review that movie, Hercules. Pastor Ted Giese will join us here for the first half hour or so, about 20 minutes. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest after that. Our regular series on this Friday afternoon is Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah 55, a few verses there. Scott Klusendorf will join us after that, and we'll spend some time talking about a recent abortion statement made by the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards. She says, look, abortion's safe, and it should not be regulated, well, as much or maybe even as much as any other medical procedure, to use her term. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week to round things off in the second hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Ted, oh, by the way, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It will be your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and I have Issues T-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad and mouse pad for the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week on this Friday afternoon. You could vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We've talked about Noah and the other movies that deal with ancient biblical themes, the stories from the Bible, dealing with the Christian God. Does Hollywood do any better job tracking with the actual stories, the ancient stories, when it's dealing with pagan gods as when it's dealing with the Christian God?
Well, Hollywood's kind of a mixed bag with this kind of thing. So in my review, I'd mentioned a couple different movies where you get various approaches to this, and there's two kind of big approaches. One approach is to kind of go by the text of things like, you know, the Iliad or you know, things like that. So basically in those ancient Greek texts, you do have the gods, and they're there, they're active, they're present. These are like gods like Hera and Zeus and things like that. So you get them actually there and present. They're doing things, they're active and involved. So there's movies like Jason and the Argonauts or Clash of the Titans, both the older version and the new version of it. in which you actually, Hollywood puts all of those gods in there doing the things that those gods do to a greater or lesser degree. But they're actual characters, right? Then you have a movie like the Brad Pitt movie Troy that came out in 2004, and that one was a real anti-supernatural approach to the whole thing. So they basically took the story of the Siege of Troy, and where the original Greek text of that story had the different gods involved in the actual activities of the story, in the Brad Pitt version in this movie Troy from 2004, they basically just stripped all of that out. So the characters walked around and did the things that the characters did, and they talked about the gods, but you never saw the gods. The gods were not present. So all those Greek gods were just, for all intents and purposes, just something people talked about but weren't actually actively involved in the story, right? This movie, Hercules, does the same sort of thing. You hear about the gods, but they really aren't there interacting and being involved in the story. They only show up in just things that people are talking about. So that's kind of like the two approaches that Hollywood has when it comes to these ancient Greek stories. So they kind of, you know, kind of pick one and go with it generally when it comes to these things. So in that way, they're probably not any more faithful to the ancient Greek stuff than they would be to ancient biblical accounts either.
Why do you think it is that Hollywood continues to return to ancient mythologies like the stories of Hercules or of God, the stories of ancient pagan gods and demigods?
I think that it's just a kind of an interesting a way of looking at human nature, right? Like a lot of those ancient stories, they have people pitted against hard circumstances. And it kind of like reveals something about human nature. So there's that kind of just true drama that's connected to it. So I think that's one of the reasons why. For instance, the reason I think that they keep coming back to the Hercules story is because Hercules, just when you read like the Hercules account, and then you read the biblical account of someone like one of the judges, for instance, like Samson, there are kind of corollaries. So people will look at Hercules and they'll think Samson, right? Like there's, you know, he's very strong and he's kind of a, you know, for want of a better term, kind of a noble character, but still makes mistakes. This is kind of, there's some similarities there. So I think that that also is kind of intriguing to Hollywood.
Now, you say that the film presents several underlying themes, both having to do with both the nature of a hero in a classical sense and the nature of that hero, even that hero's ability to be master of his own destiny. Talk about those two, if you would, Ted.
Yeah, the movie, again, like this is really like a big budget B movie. So it's kind of a cheesy action adventure kind of film with Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it. So it sounds like, we'll talk about some of these big questions here, like you're just asking, and it all sounds really deep and meaningful, but it's kind of all wrapped up. It's like they ask these questions, but it's wrapped up in just this crazy action movie kind of thing. But the big questions are, like you're asking, is what makes a hero? Is this an internal thing or an external thing? So for the Lutheran listening to this or the Christian listening to this, it's almost kind of like a case of a question of righteousness. Is your righteousness, are you a hero because of your own personal works that make you so, or is this an imputed righteousness that is placed on you? So in the case of Hercules in this movie, the question is, how does he become a hero? Is he a hero because of something that he does, or is he a hero because of how other people look at him, how they understand his story? Is it something they're putting on him, or is it something that he's kind of doing himself? So that's a big question in the movie.
Well, it's pausing there for a minute. Is that a question explicitly in the movie of whether he's a god?
This is kind of an interesting thing, because when you watch the trailer of the movie, it looks like this is like Hercules fighting giant Nemean lions and like huge giant boars and hydras and things like that. But there's a question to that as you go through the movie. And one of the things I really enjoyed about this movie was it didn't give too much away in the trailer. So he kind of goes through this movie not 100% sure about some of that stuff. There is this big story, and the movie starts off, the first 15, 20 minutes starts off with him, somebody recounting his story. And it is just over the top and grandiose and, like, epic. And then you meet him, and he's not quite as epic. At one point, he walks in and somebody says, well, I was expecting somebody bigger. I mean, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's a big guy, but even in the mind of the people in the movie, they were expecting something even bigger and better than what they get. So that's that is kind of part of the heart and soul of the movie is when push comes to shove or at crunch time, you know, what's going on with that question? It doesn't give you an answer. Like, there is no definitive answer to that. You generally speaking, when you're watching it, you're going to walk away going, I think it's this one thing. But it's never 100% clearly stated.
The other thing that you say is brought up in this movie is, and I mentioned it before, is even a hero, or even maybe perhaps a demigod, the master of their own destiny. How does the film go about answering that particular question?
Well, and then this is a really interesting one, because there's this actor in it. His name is Ian McShane, and he plays, and they got all these Greek names, so Amphiarius, sorry. And Amphiarius, he is this Greek seer, and he is purported to have seen his own death. So he walks through the movie expecting death, so he's a fatalist. So on the one hand, he's encouraging Hercules to be the hero, but on the other hand, he's this fatalist who's expecting death, and he thinks he knows exactly how it's going to happen. But then people keep intervening and stopping him from dying. So at first, this is played for laughs. But as the movie continues, it starts to become more poignant for him as a character. And this is, for the Christian watching the movie, this is really interesting, and it made me think of something from Francis Pieper from Christian Dogmatics. And he talks about this because it's a question that people have. Like, is the terminus vitae, like the moment of your death, is that fixed by God, or is it variable? And he gives a couple different things. Francis Pieper points to Job 14, in which we have the words, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass. And then he also points to Hezekiah, right, who asks to have his life prolonged. And he has his prayer, and you find that in Isaiah, and you find it in 2 Kings, where he actually does get a prolongation of his life. So Scripture actually presents both of those things. So the question then becomes, what standpoint are you viewing that from? The former is true as viewed from God's standpoint, and the latter is true from the human standpoint. So we are encouraged by Scripture to make prayers of appeal and to consider the fact that our actions do have some impact on this, but we also know that we can put everything into God's hands and he's decided the end of our days. In the movie, you have this character kind of thinking this stuff through as he's going through the story, and you then also have him being an encouragement to the character of Hercules, who's thinking some of these things through too. So it's kind of interesting in that regard.
Two final questions for you, Ted. So it sounds like on that subject, the Christian who watches this can't really accept a fatalist or kind of I plot my own course view. He has to thread the needle between the two, essentially understanding that while God has ultimately control and limits set upon the life of the believer, he is a gracious God who, what should we say, hears prayer? Is that one of the points here that we'd take away?
As a Christian watching the movie, I would say that is something you can think of internally. Like, you're not going to see it splashed all up on the screen very easily. Like, this movie is self-contained. It is what it is, and it's about what it's about. And it's just this big, raucous, action film, which is actually probably better than it deserves to be. But, you know, as a viewer, you're taking into the movie your own confession of faith. And as these questions get posed in the movie, and the movie kind of fails at completely answering them in a really good way, you still have answers about this, because you have them from what you know to be true in Scripture, right? So your confession of faith comes with you as you sit down in the movie theater to watch whatever movie it is you're about to watch, Hercules being no exception.
With only 30 seconds here, as a fighting movie, essentially, a wartime movie, any cautions for who you might take to this movie in terms of age or sensitivities there? With about 30 seconds here, Pastor Giese.
Yeah, this movie is rated 14A in Canada, PG-13 by the MPAA in the United States. And it's kind of a weird thing. It looks as though it might have actually been the kind of movie they were trying to make be maybe like an R-rated movie, but then they realized that they needed to dial it back for like a more general audience and maybe recuperate more of their money. So there are a couple things. There's a couple moments that are going to be a little bit maybe too violent for some younger viewers. Plus, there's like a little bit of like nudity that is kind of unexpected, and there's some strong language in a couple spots. So like this is clearly not for younger people, and it really isn't for you know, people who don't like these kind of big sword and sandal style, you know, action adventure movies. Because if you don't like Clash of the Titans, Jason the Argonauts, you know, that kind of stuff, you're probably not going to like this too much.
Folks, if you're thinking about seeing the movie Hercules, check out Pastor Ted Giese's review. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in the Old Testament doing our series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 55, water, and returning to some of the themes of the New Testament where Jesus talks about the same thing. Stay tuned.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique. So why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.